Please welcome Michael Kaplan.
So a quick confession. I told this story about a year and a half ago. And I don't like to repeat myself, but it does fit the theme. And more important, the night that I told it a year and a half ago, Kirk's recording setup totally malfunctioned. And I think he walked away with like 2 hours of ambient latte noise. I am really grateful that he records these. For me, this is like the lazy man's memoir. And, I've been coming here for about 5 years, and I really love the fact that I have this playlist of stories, and I fully intend to make my family play them all at my funeral. And I'm closing in on a 10-hour funeral. And I know that's pretty tedious, but I'll be dead. So here goes. In third grade, at lunchtime recess, the girls would chase the boys. That was the game. There were 8 or 9 girls, and there were 5 or 6 boys. So we were always outnumbered, which I secretly found thrilling. And to be accurate, the girls weren't chasing the boys. The girls were chasing Eddie Poplawski. And we were his minions. Eddie Poplawski was the most popular kid in third grade. Everybody wanted to sit next to Eddie Poplawski. Everybody wanted to have lunch with Eddie Poplawski. When we put on the school play, Eddie Poplawski had to be the Pied Piper. I never quite understood it. I mean, he was a fairly good-looking kid, and he had freckles. He was just sort of a generic boy. And I guess in the early 70s, that was all you needed. And you know, I don't begrudge him this. I mean, in many ways, I think this might be somebody who peaked in third grade. And because, you know, in high school, I knew him, and he just faded right into the woodwork. So some sympathy for Eddie Poplawski. Anyway, so the girls would chase Eddie Poplawski, and the rest of us boys, we would band together, and we would block them, we would hide him, we would encircle him, you know. Those were the moves. Now, Eric Fink was Eddie Poplawski's second in demand, like his major domo. And Eric was kind of a prankster, and He had mastered at an early age things like reverse psychology. They didn't have this term back then. I guess I was his frenemy. And I just always had to be careful because you never thought Eric would have your back. So Eric called for a parlay one day with the girls. I think he was concerned for Eddie Poplawski's stamina. And he suggested that they alternate the target, so that one lunch they would all chase after Eric Fink, another time they chase after David Luskin, another time Peter Lassoff, and then of course my day came. And you know, in that moment when I was given the spotlight and a fair amount of responsibility, I learned that I could be a bossy little asshole. But there was a reason. Because I was going to be able to finally answer for myself a burning question, a question that I had been obsessed with for many months. What happens when all the girls catch you? You know, were they going to imprison me? Were they going to dogpile on top of me? I had dozens of these pre-sexual submission fantasies. And now I was going to be able to find out. And I'm standing there, and suddenly there they are, this powerful row of eight girls charging towards me. Amy Gantman, Denise Kelton, Lori Roback, Molly Salyard, Stacy Schultz, Eva Sachs, Muffy Bronstein, Patty Podesta. I'm pretty sure in that moment my voice broke and my balls dropped like 5 years ahead of schedule. And at that point, I barked my first command at my minions. Stay back. They looked at me very confused. Nobody had ever just wanted to stand there and be swarmed before. And so they couldn't help themselves. They went into normal formation, and I kept shooing them away and telling them, no, this was not how it was going to go down. At which point, Eric Fink called a quick huddle, and they suddenly said to me, okay, have fun, and they left and went to the tetherball court. And now the girls slowed down and looked really puzzled, and I got an inkling that I was breaking the game, that this was going a lot deeper than I thought, and that I was treading into a bad patch here. So at that point, I thought, okay, fine. I started to run over towards the tetherball, and the girls were following in pursuit. And I said to the boys, you know, oh, okay, great, help, help. And Eddie Poplawski looked right through me. And Eric Fink said, no, no, we're having fun. You just go do your thing. And now I was completely at a loss. And as the girls drew closer, I turned and I pushed Eva Sachs. And she fell down and started crying. And now I thought, that's it. I've lost my friends. I've punctured a hole in the social fabric of lunchtime recess. And I've committed violent acts, for which I'm going to get in trouble. So I had basically turned myself into the anti-Poplawski. And so I went and wandered off to the far corner and sat down on a bench and burst into tears, just feeling like the low of low. And after a while, I felt four hands on my back, and there were the four boys, and they all went in unison, friend. And I know that kind of sounds like a heartwarming moment, and I was very relieved, but I was also aware that it was a little sinister. I mean, it was like a heartwarming moment engineered by Iago or Saruman. You know, it wasn't pure. Eric Fink was just a psychological master, and I was really going to have to up my game if I was going to play with big boys like that. I did try to save face by telling them I was upset because I knew I was going to get in trouble for pushing Eva Sachs. And Eric again called for a parley with the girls and worked it out and told me that Eva had agreed to drop all charges and the game would resume. And once again, there was that powerful line of eight girls charging across the playground. And this time, in the name of friendship, in the name of the boys banding together and really to preserve the social fabric of the playground, I turned and ran like hell. And that day, I learned a great deal about friendship, and I learned a great deal about leadership. But I never learned what happens when all the girls catch you.